Got it. Timing is really important when you work with executives, and you can figure this stuff out with just a little bit of research. You know, and if you go in there and the exec says, hey, we're coming up on the end of the quarter, I really can't talk about it, you should have said, I know it's coming to the end of your quarter. Let's figure out if this is something you want to talk about now, or if we need to wait till after you close out your books.
Every single message you deliver is really a sales call. Either you are selling or being sold. Salespeople love to brag about their skills. And the truth is, your success in closing sales depends on your skills, your abilities, and finding the right training. And the great news is, you have come to the right place here at the How to Sell Show with your hosts, Dale Bell and Scott Silvenbell. And be sure to join the party at howtosell.live and download your copy of The 10 Common Mistakes Salespeople Make.
All right, aloha. I'm sitting here with Mark S.A. Smith. And, you know, it's kind of interesting how we met. We met at a copywriting course in San Francisco a couple of years back. And you told me your background and your story, and I'm like, you've written 12 books. Why are you sitting here?
Well, I'm a lifelong learner. I, you know, never stop learning. I was in class yesterday for a half day. If we don't keep learning, we die.
Yeah. Okay. So I happen to have one of the books you wrote, Guerrilla Negotiating.
Yeah, that came from your library, didn't it?
Came from my library. It's been in there for a while. It's one of the first books I bought.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
So,
I got to say, let's position that book. That book is not really about negotiating. It's about actually the antidote to everything people are taught to try to take money out of your pocket as a sales professional. You get that to figure out how to resist what they've been taught. So, it's really the first book to do that. It has the antidote to what people try to attempt on you.
Now, you have a unique position when it comes to selling. You work with Fortune 500 companies.
I do.
And you actually meet with these CEOs.
I do.
And so I want you to help me separate some fact from fiction on meeting with CEOs, selling to them, being in that C level,
yes,
and what to do and what not to do.
Yes.
So let's start with the first question. Let's talk about a couple of the mistakes that salespeople make when they're dealing with the C level.
Well, the first mistake is that they believe that C levels respond to persuasion. And the reality is that they spot every persuasion tactic on the planet. 90% of CEOs come from a sales background.
Okay.
So they have not only heard every close, they've used every close. So if you use anything at all that smacks like a close without having laid out the entire strategy ahead of time, they're going to throw you out. Now the other 10% are founders and they won't respond well to manipulation either. So no manipulation ever when you work with an executive.
Okay.
Because they know where it comes from, they know how to use it, they do it all the time themselves.
And they've heard it, they've trained on it.
They have.
Okay.
And probably the worst thing you can say to a sales executive, a CEO, is the tired phrase, what keeps you awake at night. And interestingly, USA Today about 5 years ago ran a story where they interviewed 10 CEOs, Fortune 500 CEOs, and they asked them that question. And every one of them said nothing.
Really?
I have people that lay awake at night. I don't.
That's a good point.
And there was one CEO that was actually honest about his response, and he said, it's my teenage daughter. They don't lay awake worrying about their company. They're there to lead it forward, not to worry about the problems. Their vision is always towards the future. They are not pain-driven. They're dream-driven. And a lot of people think that pain-based selling works well with CEOs. It doesn't, unless they're in extreme blood-spurting pain.
Okay.
Now, that's a different situation. But they also already have their cadre of people that they can call on to solve those problems. So when you're selling to CEOs, it's always about how to accomplish the new outcome that they don't know how to accomplish yet. A lot of people think that selling to CEOs, it's about price. And if I can do this for you cheaper, would you be interested in finding out more? The answer is no, because I have people that look for that all the time. I have people that are tasked with figuring out how to do this better. And if you ask me to come in and do something cheaper, along with that comes risk. And as a CEO, you're tasked with three things: profit, growth, and risk mitigation. And if what I offer to that person doesn't support those three elements, they're not interested. So we have to come in instead and figure out what is their objective. What are they trying to achieve that they can't achieve yet?
What would be some good questions to ask?
Well, I think that probably the best objective, the best question is, what is your objective right now? What is your short-term objective? What are you trying to achieve? And taking a look at your website, taking a look at your corporate report, here are the things that I see that you're trying to accomplish. Is that still in alignment? Are you trying to do something else? And then you would confirm that objective. The next thing I would ask them is, what is holding you back from accomplishing your mission? What's holding you back from making that happen? Is it people? Is it processes? Is it capital? Is it intellectual property? Is it sense of risk? What is it that's holding you back? And it's going to be one of those five things.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have one of those categories.
That's right. And so then I can tap into that area and have a conversation about that. And then the turn is, well, based on what you've told me so far, I think I've got some answers for you. Would be willing to spend a little time discussing that. It's really quick.
So it's like you ask the questions, you get some permission to move forward by
yes.
them.
Mm-hmm.
And do they accept that? Do they move forward with it pretty well?
Well, they do because you've done your homework. Every CEO I talk to wants you to do your homework before wasting their time, spending their time.
Because it's valuable.
Of course it's valuable. They have plenty of other things to do.
So you have a unique background in talking with CEOs and interviewing them for books.
Yes.
Can we talk about how that's helped you get this insight?
Sure. Not only for books, but also my business is finding customers. I help leaders find the right customers fast. And to do that, we always start off with research. Well, I've been doing this a long time, and I have a lot of things that I know are going to work. We don't invest the money until we test. Biggest thing, right?
Yeah, test.
Test. Yeah. Test. Until we test to make sure this actually is going to work. And part of that test, especially when we're selling things to executives, is to have conversations with them. And the way that I do that is I locate them, usually through LinkedIn. I'm looking for specific characteristics. I invite them through InMail, and I invite them to spend time with me. And what I found is I can get almost any executive to give me 45 minutes in exchange for $200.
That's huge right there. I want to make sure that people understand how important that is, right? But you're doing the right thing. You're doing research. What is it that you're telling them?
Well, I'm not pitching. It's not a sales. At this point, there's no sales. No. What I'm doing is asking them a series of questions that helps me understand how they make the decision. And frequently, the question is along the lines of, when you need to buy this type of outcome, this type of product to achieve this kind of outcome, what are the steps you go through? How do you decide who to choose? When there is a trigger, what is that trigger? When you have that trigger, what do you do next? Because my job is to step in front of them when something triggers a need.
Good point.
And so they tell me all this information. Now they tell me how they go out and look for these kind of products, and I can step in front of them with the right things the right way. And most executives, it's a team decision. They ask their inner circle first. And that's where influencer selling really comes into play.
Can we pause and talk about what that means?
Sure.
Influencer selling?
The fact that a lot of salespeople want to get to the decision maker first.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen frequently, especially if you're going to pitch the decision maker. The pitch comes at a certain time. It's not at the beginning of your relationship. You know, you don't step up to a beautiful woman and say, "Will you marry me?" If she says yes, she's the wrong woman.
This is Vegas. Sometimes that stuff does happen.
It does. That's right. Here in Vegas is the only place where an elevator pitch actually works.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Anyway. So the question is, what information do they need? What's the steps that they go through? How do they qualify this? How do they evaluate it? And keep in mind, the CEO still has a signature level above which they have to go to the board of directors to get permission to buy something. And so frequently the CEO still has to persuade somebody else to say yes too. While they may be the ultimate authority of saying yes or no, they frequently have to get permission someplace else. So we have to give them what they need to persuade the board of directors to say yes if the deal is big enough. For example, in the world of IT, $100,000, weirdly enough, frequently goes to the board, at least for a rubber stamp.
Really?
Weird.
So if I were selling to you and you were the CEO, what tools do I need to give you to effectively communicate the information to the board to sell it? Is it stories? Is it deliverables? Is it some sort of product? What do I got to do to get them to say yes?
Well, it's going
to
be a combination of things.
Okay.
They are, first of all, we have to make sure that what I'm offering them has the ability to meet their objective with a low degree of risk, high degree of success.
You've mentioned risk a couple of times now. This is super important.
It is super important because risk mitigation and risk management is part of their job.
Okay.
No, and the board of directors' job is governance, and governance is always about management of risk.
Okay.
Always. So we have to have them tell the story that this is not risky. Here are the issues that are likely to occur. Here's the probabilities. Here's how we're going to back it up. So all of those things are important. So part of what a CEO is going to do, especially if a CFO will be involved, and they're almost always going to be involved because they're going to be managing the cash flow and the funding and those things, is what is the viability of this vendor? Are they going to be here when we need them?
Okay.
And that's one of the reasons why new products to CEOs is very difficult to sell unless you come with an extremely strong guarantee where there's an extremely low risk of them having any challenges. Now, the good news is if you have an established product and you sell to a CEO and you get up to the board of directors, they're going to tell each other and you have this wonderful top-down referral network, if you manage it right, that can make take your business to the top. I've got this colleague who's been selling for a very long time, and he identified the two organizations that if he could take them down, if he could sell to them, that he would get everybody, and he did. That was his strategy. Who are the two that when I sell them, I get everybody else because they're all networked across. So that's the value of selling at the top of an organization, is you can crack a market extremely rapidly. I mean, in 2 or 3 years versus 10 years type of a situation.
So a couple of elements is going to take patience.
Oh, sure it is, always.
Multiple trips?
Yeah, it's going to have multiple conversations.
Okay. And that could be email, that could be a phone call, that could be a face-to-face visit.
Well, you're going to go for as much conversation as you possibly can.
Okay.
And the reason why is I've got to understand three things before I can pitch an executive. What is their objective? We've already talked a little bit about that. What are the outcomes that they're looking for and what do they have to avoid?
Okay.
Those are the two things I have to understand. I can get a pretty good idea, but it changes. And, you know, it's a moving target. Second thing I have to understand is their priorities. That is, in what order do things get done? And once I understand their priorities, it could be end of quarter. Well, I can't talk to them end of quarter.
Yeah. Good luck.
Right?
Yeah.
So I've got it. Timing is really important when you work with executives. And you can figure this stuff out with just a little bit of research. You know, and if you go in there and the exec says, hey, we're coming up on the end of the quarter, I really can't talk about it. You should have said, I know it's coming to the end of your quarter. Let's figure out if this is something you want to talk about now or if we need to wait till after you close out your books.
Perfect.
And they're like, oh, great, you get me.
You understand my pain.
Right.
Yeah.
Or my dreams.
Dreams, you're right. I'm sorry, I said the wrong thing.
No. It's a balance.
Okay.
Right? It is a balance. But if you go straight with pain, it's not going to work. They're visionaries. They're leaders. They're going where people haven't gone before. That's not pain-based. That's dream-based.
That's a good distinguishment.
And so it's really important for us to balance. Now, the people below them handle pain. At their level, pain is something that they do avoid whenever possible. So I have to understand their priorities, and priorities in what order do things get done. And there are four indicators of priority when you're working with executives.
Okay.
First one is budget. No budget, there's no priority. If they have a budget, it's a priority, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's a high priority. Everybody, you probably have somebody that said, I've got the budget, but they haven't ordered yet. Well, what that meant is it's not a priority.
Okay, so we got budget.
Right, budget's first. Second is who's paying attention to this. So what level is this coming from? If it's coming from the bottom, not a high priority. If it's coming from the board of directors, very high priority.
So like this is a signal. Like if the CEO is saying, my board of directors says to go, in
right.
your mind you should go, this is super important.
Well, and you can ask it, what level, where is this coming from? Who's driving this? Whose project is this? And if he says it's the board, or she says it's the board of directors, it's a high priority.
Yay!
Right?
Okay.
So you have to understand who's driving this.
Okay.
The third thing you have to understand is what level of resources have been assigned for this particular project. And if you can plug into those resources, magic happens. If no resources have been assigned, low priority.
So if I were to say, Mark, I have no idea what you mean by resources.
What? It could be a person.
Okay.
It could be a department. If somebody has a management objective, if they said, I have a person who's heading up this project, we've got priority.
Okay.
Because there's somebody's career on the line, in which case I know who to speak with and who to support and who to make successful. So that's how I figure out the politics, right, is who's paying attention to this.
And that's ultimately your end game is when you're going in there. You're figuring out who's the pecking order.
Yeah, well, that's right. The priority pecking order, yeah.
Who do I got to talk to?
Yeah.
What tools do they need to make them successful?
Right. What's their motivators?
How do we deal with risk?
That's right. There's one other thing we have to point out
yeah.
for the priority aspect, and that is deadline.
Okay.
No deadline, no deal. Fundamental, friends. No deadline, no deal. And if the CEO says, yeah, we have to have this live by July 1st, if it doesn't happen, it's going to be a resume-generating event for somebody.
Ooh, that's a good point.
So the deadline is where we get commitment. You may have a decision. That happens with budget. We've decided to do this. That's the decision. But the commitment and the decision are two different things.
Okay.
So the commitment comes from the deadline. So I have to understand what their deadlines are. Then I can work backwards to figure out how to do that. And along those lines, I want to provide you with one more insight on this priority package.
Definitely.
The priority is really important. And selling to priorities with executives is the winning strategy. Okay, you have to have the outcome, we have that, but then we now assign, we work through the priority aspect of it. And that is, no executive will ever agree to a project if they don't know how to manage it. That's so important, I'm going to say that a second time. No executive will ever agree to a project they don't know how to manage. And so what that means is part of our sales process is to show them the milestones and the checkpoints and the timing, so they know how to make sure things are on track to hit the ultimate outcome.
Do you map that out for them?
I map them out for them. Now, a lot of people will put that in a project management document. I put it as part of my proposal.
Good.
Phase one, phase two, phase three, phase four. Here's what we're going to do. Here's the outcomes. Here's the deliverables. Here's the payback. I have a complete strategy that I use when presenting to executives that then they take to the board of directors, and they say, looks like you've got this in hand. They go, thank you very much. Let's go.
Perfect.
But you have to show them how to manage the purchase. Now, keep in mind, when you sell to executives, you're not selling commodities. No, because they push that down to the people that buy commodities in the purchasing department. You have to sell things that are strategic, that have an impact on their business and an impact on their competitiveness. That's the only way you're going to get to an executive. If you're selling copy machines, I'm sorry, you're not going to get much time, because executives see copy machines as copy machines as copy machines, and they're going to push that to the level of people that know how to buy copy machines. But if you're selling them something that creates competitive advantage, it could be an application, it could be things such as data mining or reporting or a new technology that permits their manufacturing department to be more efficient than ever before. Now we're talking strategy, strategic products versus tactical products. Our tactical products are purchased to perform a task. What you're selling helps them perform a task, probably not going to get a lot of their time. Whereas a strategic product is designed to help them create a new outcome. New outcome. Because so that's what they're focused on.
Are these the words we should be keying in on? Outcome?
Absolutely.
Risk, strategy?
Absolutely. Tactics? They don't care about tactics. They pay people for tactics. It's all about strategy, which is what and why. Strategy is always what and why. Where and when is priority. Where and when is priority. And who and how is tactics.
Okay.
So if I start pitching who and how, I'm down at the tactical level, I'm going to get thrown out of the office fast.
What other things are going to get somebody thrown out of the office?
there's
a long list, but can we key on the most common mistakes?
Well, I think the most common mistake is you start pitching an executive without understanding their objectives or understanding their priorities. Because they're going to very, very quickly shut down if there's no alignment. They are very good at filtering out things that are irrelevant. You know, they are focused, absolutely focused on the things that are going on. You might get a little time if it's interesting and they think it might be interesting in the future, but you won't get a lot of time. The second thing that gets you thrown out is when you start digging into the how. If you start talking about how you're going to get something done, they're going to shut down. And the reason why is they pay people for how. They're not the how people, they pay people for the how. So the moment you start talking the tactical elements of what you're selling, they're going to say, no, I don't have time for this. You need to talk to this person. They're going to delegate you down to a different level. Now, that might be okay as long as they agree with the outcome that you're offering. But if there has to, first of all, be agreement with outcome and risk management before they're going to ever do anything beyond that. So don't talk about how. If an executive wants to know how, and there are a few.
Sure.
There are a few, especially founders that started off with a how, and they made a living with a how, and they've elevated up, and they still have this interesting, for example, I still like to know how things work, because I'm a geek. But err on the side of not enough data, more data, because if they want more, they'll ask for it.
Okay.
But if you give them too much, they'll say, I need to move on. So that's probably the biggest mistake that I see people make, is they jump into the how things work.
What about the value of their time?
Well, certainly respect the value of your time, and if they give you 15 minutes, make sure that you manage that 15 minutes to your perfection. And in that particular case, I would spend 7 minutes asking them questions. I'd spend 3 minutes presenting my fundamental outcomes, and then I'd spend 2 or 3 minutes talking about, a recircle back on how that would impact them, and then booking the next, how can I help, where should we, what shall we do next? based on what you've told me so far, I think I can help you. Who in your team do I need to connect with to make this happen?
And this is the close.
That's the close.
Okay.
Right? Because the executive's not going to make a decision on the spot. Even though they can, they won't. And the reason why is frequently, well, in fact, always, if you're talking strategic products, it involves and has impact on the whole organization. And they're not going to throw anybody under the bus. They're going to bring people on board, talk with them, say, what do you think? You know, how does this fit our current process? They're not going to do things that are disruptive just to disrupt. They're going to make sure that everybody on their team, because they're the leader of the team, is going to benefit from this more than the cost of bringing it on board. So it's going to be a complex, multiple people are going to be involved, multiple people are going to be decided, but the key to selling executives is understand that if you can show them how you can help them achieve their outcome, then they're going to plug you into the rest of their network. And then the deal is a matter of turning the crank, dotting the T's, crossing the I's, and
get it done.
Getting all those pieces done.
So moving forward, what do you foresee are some of the difficulties today, moving forward, getting a hold of CEOs?
Well, probably the biggest challenge with people is, you know, how do I get a hold of a CEO? And they use traditional strategies to do so. But understand that what you're selling CEOs is strategic, not tactical. That means you have to use strategic approaches to getting their attention. My strategy in the past has been giving them books, sending them books. You know, you find a book that matches what you're doing. It's easy. I've written books. I send them copies of my books.
Sure.
But if you don't have a book, you can send them a copy of somebody else's book that validates your position. And you can take a sticky note and put it on the page that you want and highlight it and circle it and said, you know, I've been thinking about you based on what I know about you, and I'd love to talk. I think this aligns with what you're trying to accomplish. And if you're willing to give me 15 minutes, I can share with you some ideas I think you and your team will find valuable. So that would be a way to get their attention. It's definitely a strategic approach.
Okay.
Stu Hynek, who just recently released a book, How to Get a Meeting with Anybody, and I suggest if you get Stu on your, he'll talk with you.
Very cool. Definitely.
Stu is a Wall Street Journal cartoonist and a really sharp marketer. And he just recently released a book called How to Get a Meeting with Anyone. And it's exactly this. How do you get the attention of top-level people by doing things that are, in the world of guerrilla, we call them guerrilla, unique and unusual. But he has some really extraordinary, it's literally a how-to handbook on how to reach out cold to people. Of course, I use LinkedIn. LinkedIn is a fantastic way of connecting with executives, especially if you can show that you have executive connections already.
Because that's your peer group when
sure.
You have all these people who are friends.
That's right.
On LinkedIn.
That's right. It's a whole lot easier, and it may take you a little while to get there. You may need to partner with somebody who has executive connections. If you can get a referral, you're golden, right? And if you can get somebody to get you on the phone together, now you're platinum, right?
It makes it that much easier.
Yes, of course, because they do the introduction and they transfer their relationship to that executive with you, and you better be good. You better have your conversation absolutely nailed. So then the plutonium level is if you can get somebody to take you out to dinner with an executive.
Oh, yeah.
And I had the opportunity, one of my friends took me out to dinner with the CEO of a company, and it was magic. We talked business for like 60 seconds, but the fact that we were able to dig in and figure out what's going on in their world, and then we follow up with phone calls, and then they plug me into their VPs, and magic happens.
So let's say that you've gone from gold to platinum to plutonium, and you end up on dinner. How much of this dinner is conversation about business, and how much of it is about, you know, what else is going on in life? How do you judge that? Because I could foresee where a salesperson goes, ah, I've got this guy's attention. But he could also lose the guy's attention or girl's attention, lady. What's the right way to do this and the wrong way to do this? How do you judge this?
Well, you know, remember that the impact of dinner is relationship. When you're working with executives, it's do they trust you? That's the first thing.
Okay.
Without that trust, I don't care what you got. I don't care how good you are, how cheap you are. If they don't trust you, you're too risky.
Once again, we're back to risk.
We are. We're back to risk. And so familiarity reduces risk. And the thing that drives trust, the number one thing that drives trust, half a dozen things, is consistency. So we start off being somebody who gives a damn about them as a human being. And from that point, then they're going to translate that into give a damn about my company as a professional. And so we have to make that bridge. So most of it's going to be along the lines of, you know, tell me about yourself and how'd you get into this business and, you know, what are the most exciting things that you're looking forward to. I wouldn't go into the pain. That's too soon, right?
It's too quick in the relationship.
That's right, too quick in the relationship, because they want to see themselves as being successful. And successful people hate admitting where they're not successful, other than to people who they trust. They're not going to relate that to somebody they don't trust. They don't know what they're going to be saying.
Okay.
Right? So it's really about getting to know that person and trusting that person. You know, the way that you and I manage to spend time together, and I trust you, and you ask me a question, the answer is always yes to Scott, because I trust you. Right?
So that's a good point.
So that leads to things like this kind of interview, where I get into a car and drive to your hotel room here in Las Vegas and spend time with you, right?
True.
Because I'm willing to do that for you, because I trust you. It's the same way with executives.
Good point.
Okay? So you don't pitch executives. Yep. Until you know.
Until you know.
Until they know.
Can we wrap this up with one last question? The last couple of times that I met with you, you've had a permanent marker.
Yes.
Right? And I love this strategy. This is awesome.
Yes.
Right?
I always walk around with a Sharpie in my pocket. Oh, it's over there.
It's on the table.
It's over there on the table.
It's on the table. But when we went to class together, you took notes with a permanent marker.
I did, with a Sharpie.
With a Sharpie. Mm-hmm. When we went to dinner last time, we went to Bouchon.
That's right.
And we drew out the map of sales.
That's right.
And you said, hey, I got a couple questions for you. Why is this effective? Why, you know, how did you come up with this? Why is it effective, and how could somebody use it?
Great. Well, if we go back to Cialdini, who everybody who's listening to this should know about Cialdini's
influence. Yeah, Robert Cialdini.
Right, of course. Yeah. He talks about consistency as being one of the prime persuasion strategies. And especially when people make public written voluntary statements, people tend to be consistent with that into the future. Probably one of the most powerful ideas you have as a sales professional.
Okay.
Public written voluntary statements, people are consistent with that in the future. Since consistency is also the prime leader of trust, we have a connection here. Whenever I take notes, I want the notes to be big enough for the person I'm sitting with to see what I am writing down. Because
I'm just gonna let you go. I'll keep going with that, please.
All right. Because my job is to illustrate that I'm paying attention, what they're saying is important, and what I'm writing down is truth. So I'm taking their voluntary public statements and making them written and allowing them to see what I am writing. I want them to see my notes, and not like a therapist who's hiding, you know, guy's a nutcase. And No. So that's the first reason why I use that. You had a question.
No, I was going to ask you to expand on it. You did.
Okay.
Good job.
Then the second reason is because working with executives, you want to have a conversation to a conclusion. When you bring in a prepared presentation, there's a time for that, but it's not until a long way into the relationship after you've rounded up everybody's motivation and everybody's rationale for saying yes. And the idea is to conduct a presentation so that all the players are going to say yes, 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 yes. Let's get started. That's the reason why you have a prepared presentation. So, and when you can pull out a Sharpie and you can write on a piece of paper and you can draw it out and you can explain the situation, and if they say, can I have that?
You
scored.
Yeah.
In which case, write your phone number on that piece of paper and sign it and hand it to them and say, I'm ready when you're ready. So what I want is that level of personalization. I want them to see that I am doing it for them, that I am a trusted expert, the ability to give them insights they hadn't had before, to help them move to places they couldn't go to before until we met. And as a salesperson, that's my job.
Yep.
And with that, magic happens.
Very cool. Mark, where can people find you?
Great. The best way to find me, let me see here. If you like these ideas, you want to get more of them, I send out a weekly email about how to acquire customers. The best way to sign up for that is markszine.com. Markszine.com. E-Z-I-N-E, M-A-R-K-S. Markszine.com. And that'll take you to the sign-up page on my website. It's lots of interesting ideas. It'll take you to my website. Once you're there, you can see the other things that I've got going on. I do a webinar about once a month on topics like this, and so I'd be delighted to connect with you. Also, Mark's on LinkedIn.com. I'm M-A-R-K-S, Mark's on LinkedIn. If you are on this and you want to link in, just say, I heard you on Scott Sylvan Bell's podcast, and I will be glad, because of your relationship with Scott, to include you into my network as well.
That's very cool.
So a couple of quick tips there. Notice how easy it is I make for you to sign up.
Well, you know what's funny is after we met and you told me your address, like, I literally left that convention and bought Scott's on Facebook.
Good, right? Good.
Scott's on Twitter.
Yes.
Scott's on LinkedIn.
Yes.
Right?
Makes it so easy.
Oh, yeah.
Makes
easy,
it dead easy.
Fine.
Make it easy for people to connect with you. Frictionless is the way we want to do that.
Very cool. Mark, I really do appreciate you coming out here and sharing these strategies.
Always a delight to hang out with you, my friend. You're one of my smarter friends, and it's always a delight to share with you and with you.
Very cool. Well, thank you very much.
A delight. Thank you.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the How to Sell Show. You can join the party at howtosell.live to get the show notes, links, updates on new episodes, recordings of previous episodes, articles, as well as videos. You may not know this sales secret, but sharing this episode with a friend will bring you good luck. See you soon. Mahalo.